Congregation, we read the word of the Lord this Thanksgiving Day from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we begin reading at verse 1 to the end of the chapter. Hear the word of God. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from this chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We sing in response to the reading of God's word from Psalter 304, the stanzas 1, 2, and 7. Congregation, as our confession of faith this morning, I thought we would read together from Lord's Days 9 and 10 of our Heidelberg Catechism, although the sermon is not based on these Lord's Days, but there we confess what we believe when we say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, the first article of the Apostles' Creed. So I invite you to turn with me, please, in the back of your Psalter, page 37, as we read together from Lord's Days 9 and 10. Page 37 in the back of your Psalter. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth, with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. And now, Lord's Day 10. What do you mean by the providence of God? The almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things, come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. What advantage is it to us to know that God has created, and by his providence does still uphold all things, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand, that without his will they cannot so much as move. Congregation, are you a thankful person? Most people are thankful for some things, at least some of the time. People are thankful when things are going well, when they have enough to drink and eat, when they're healthy, when their business prospers. But many are not thankful when things do not go well, when they don't have enough to eat and to drink, when they don't enjoy good health, when their business doesn't prosper. And sadly, that's also true for Christians. Like everyone else in the world, believers too have a tendency to be thankful for some things and not for others. To be thankful in some circumstances and not in others. But you know, congregation, this is not how God wants us to be. God wants his people to be thankful at all times, under all circumstances, and for everything. This is what the Apostle Paul teaches in our text from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 consists mainly of a series of exhortations, beginning in verse 12, and ending in verse 22. And you can group those exhortations under five headings. In verses 12 and 13, the apostle exhorts the elders of the church. And in verse 14, he exhorts the members of the church. Then in verse 15, he gives some exhortations regarding how we are to relate to our unbelieving neighbors. Then in verses 16 through 18, he speaks of our relationship to God. And in verses 19 through 22, he speaks of our relation to the Holy Spirit and his gifts. Now, the words of our text this morning can be found in that fourth grouping. Exhortations regarding our relationship to God in this section, verses 16 through 18. And there, the apostle says believers are to do three things in our relationship to God. The first is we are to rejoice evermore. The second is we are to pray without ceasing. And the third, and that's the words of our text this morning, we are to give thanks in everything. Believers are to be thankful in everything. And as if to reinforce that, the Apostle Paul adds these words, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so my theme this morning is thankful in everything. Thankful in everything. And we'll see that this is challenging, this is also possible, and thirdly, it is required. Paul in our text exhorts believers to give thanks to God. Now, he doesn't use the word God in our text, but it's certainly implied. When he says, in everything give thanks, he means, obviously, in everything give thanks to God, because he is the giver of every good thing. In our Belgian confession, we confess in Article 1 that he is the overflowing fountain of all good. James says he is the source of every good gift. And everything that we have today, both materially as well as spiritually, it all comes from God. And therefore, we are to give thanks to him. The verb that Paul uses here in the Greek is what's called the imperative mood. That means it's a command. The apostle here is not just suggesting that we give thanks to God. He is commanding us to do so. Thanksgiving is not an option. It's not something we can take or leave. It's a requirement. We are, as believers in Christ Jesus, we are to give thanks to God. Now, Paul is saying nothing new there. He's simply echoing what is stated in different ways throughout the Scriptures, especially in the Psalms. The Psalms contain many verses exhorting the people of God to give thanks to God. Psalm 30, verse 4, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name." Psalm 97, verse 12, "Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name." Psalm 106, verse 1, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Again and again throughout the Scriptures, believers are exhorted to give thanks to God. And Paul does the same here in our text. He exhorts the Thessalonians to give thanks to God. Now, why does he do this? Why should we give thanks to God? Well, because God gives us so much, doesn't he? Think of all the material blessings that we have received from the hand of the Lord again this past year. We have all had enough to eat and to drink. We've all had sufficient clothing and shelter. The Lord has blessed us with work for our hands and the ability to do this work. We have once again received a plentiful harvest from the Lord. Sure, things could always be better. We could always wish that this or that was improved. But when we compare ourselves to the vast majority of people living on the planet today, then how blessed we are. And that's why it's good to be in the house of the Lord today and to give Him thanks, for He is so good and He has been so good to us. Consider too also all of His spiritual blessings. How many spiritual blessings we have received from the Lord. We have the Bible, the Word of God, in our own language. There's one in every pew, several in every pew, several in your homes. They're readily available. We have a church, a beautiful church building. We have each other as believers in the Lord. We have a pastor who has been called to this place to proclaim the Word of God to you. We have the fellowship and communion of saints. We have elders and deacons. Elders who care for our spiritual needs, who watch over our souls, and the deacons who watch over our material needs. We have all kinds of opportunities, both within and outside of the church, to grow in the knowledge of God and of His Word. We have a Sunday school class. We have catechism class. We have confession of faith class and Bible study, and soon, the Lord willing, a youth group. And all of this given by the Lord, these are all gifts from the Lord to help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in addition to all of this, we have the regular faithful preaching of the Word of God. We have the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, and baptism, which are designed to strengthen our faith. Oh, the Lord has been so good, and He has showered upon us blessing after blessing after blessing. And if you're a believer this morning, think of all that you have in Christ. Think of all that the Lord Jesus has done for you. How He suffered and died. How He was buried, and how He rose again on the third day and ascended up into heaven, and how He is even now at the right hand of His Father, making intercession for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. How He watches over you, how He sends His angels to guard you, to keep you. How He provides for you. How He grants us the forgiveness of our sins. Every day we come before Him with confession of sin on our lips, and the Lord so freely and so graciously pardons us. And He gives us His Holy Spirit, who takes up His abode in our hearts and who teaches us the way of God and leads us in the way of holiness. Oh, congregation, will you think of all that the Lord has done for us and all that He has given to us, and all of it totally undeserved? Should we not give thanks? Not just today, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day of the week. Should we not give thanks to God? Indeed, we should, but that's not all that Paul says. He doesn't only say that believers should give thanks, but he adds these two words, give thanks in everything. In everything. Now, that phrase "in everything" does not mean at all times. Paul does say that elsewhere in Ephesians 5, verse 20. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there in Ephesians 5, verse 20, Paul exhorts us to be thankful at all times. But here in our text, the meaning is more narrow. Here, the phrase "in everything" means in all circumstances. We are to be thankful in all circumstances of life. We are to be thankful not only when times are good, but also when times are bad. We are to be thankful not only in times of prosperity, but also in times of adversity. We are to be thankful not only in times of health, but also in times of sickness. We are to be thankful not only in times of joy, but also in times of sorrow. We are to be thankful in every circumstance. Now that's not easy to do. It's easy to be thankful when things are good, and when things are going our way, and when everything just seems to be working. Then it's easy to be thankful. But it's not so easy to be thankful when things are not good, and when it appears as though everything and everyone is against us. It's not easy to be thankful when we are sick, It's not easy to be thankful when the Lord takes away a loved one. It's not easy to be thankful when our business that we work so hard at growing suffers a serious setback. It's not easy to be thankful in everything. And yet, this is what believers are commanded to do. We are commanded to give thanks in everything. Well, is that true of you this morning? Are you thankful to God in every circumstance? Maybe you think to yourself, well, is that even possible? Brings me to my second point, and I say, yes, it is. If it wasn't possible, the Apostle Paul wouldn't say what he wrote. He would have said something like, well, give thanks when you can. But he doesn't say that. He says, give thanks in everything. That implies, doesn't it, that it's possible to give thanks, even in difficult and trying circumstances. Several examples of this in the Bible. Think of David. After David committed adultery with Bathsheba, you remember how Nathan the prophet came to him and confronted him with his sin, and he told him that the child that Bathsheba was carrying would die. And after the child was born, David lay on his face to the ground, and he interceded with God day and night to spare the life of the child. And after 7 days, the child died. And how did David respond to this? Did he fall to pieces? Did he sink into a spiral of depression and negativity? No. We read in God's Word that he rose from the ground, he washed and anointed himself, and he changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord, and he worshipped. Amazing. David had just lost a child, a son, as a result of his own sin. And yet he went to the house of God and he worshipped. Oh, David knew what it was to give thanks in everything, didn't he? Think of Job. Who cannot think of Job? One of the wealthiest men that ever lived. A man who had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The Bible says his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And in a single day, he lost everything, including all of his children. And how did Job respond to this? Did he shake his fist at God? Did he resent God? Did he say, God, what have I done to deserve this? Did he complain about his circumstances? Did he despair of life like Elijah when he was running away from Jezebel? No. We read in the Bible, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said this, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. And later, when Job was struck with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, his wife came to him and said, curse God and die. And Job said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And we read, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. There was a man who was thankful in everything. One more example, this one from the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, when Paul and Silas were in Philippi. You remember how they came across this young woman who had a spirit of divination, and the Apostle Paul cast out this spirit, and the owners of this slave girl were upset about this, and they dragged them before the magistrates, and after an unfair trial, they were beaten, they were flogged with many stripes, the Bible says, and they were thrown into prison, and their feet were bound with heavy chains. Now, what did they do? Did they complain to God? Did they say, God, what are you doing? We're doing your will. We're doing what you asked us to do. And here we are. Our body is aching with the stripes that we receive from the whips. Our legs are chafing under the iron shackles. And here we are in prison. Lord, what are you doing? No, we read that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. In spite of their desperate situation, Paul and Silas gave thanks in everything. Well, is it true of us? Anyone here going through a hard time? Circumstances are not what they should be, what you wish they were. Are you thankful? Thankful in everything. We're so often like the people of Israel, aren't we? God had just delivered them from the land of Egypt, from slavery in Egypt. He divided the waters of the Red Sea, allowing his people to pass through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and Pharaoh followed in after them with his army, and God caused the walls of the waters of the Red Sea to collapse in upon them, and the people saw this, and they saw the dead bodies of Pharaoh's army floating on the top of the water. They had been rescued, and they were happy. And Miriam took a tambourine and began to sing praises to God. And the women of Israel began to praise God. And the whole camp was full of rejoicing. God had delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. And just a few days later, they began to grumble and complain because of the lack of water. Are we any different? When things go well, we're happy and we're thankful, but when things don't go well and things don't go the way that we want them to go, then we become bitter and resentful. Congregation, God is saying to us today, He wants us to be thankful in everything. In everything. You say, how is that possible? How is it possible for a believer to be thankful in everything? Well, we need to remember two things. We need to remember, first of all, that whatever happens to us in this life, and we confess that in Lord's Day 9 and 10 of the Catechism this morning, whatever happens to us in this life happens not by chance, but it comes from the hand of a faithful God and Father who loves us, who knows what's best for us, even if it causes us pain. And that whatever the Lord gives, also the trials, also the hardships, in somehow, some way, it all serves His plan for you and for me. And every thread of the tapestry of our lives is there for a reason. And at the end of the day, it's all good. That's why Paul writes in Romans 8:28, we know that all things, even the bad things, the so-called bad things, because in the life of the Christian there really is no such thing as a bad thing, because everything comes from the hand of God. but also the painful things. They all work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now, it's not always easy to see that at the time, but it's true nonetheless. And in eternity, we'll see our lives and we'll have the opportunity, I believe, to ask the Lord, Lord, why did that happen to me? Why did you allow that to happen? And the Lord will explain it to us. We'll say, of course. Makes perfect sense. Why didn't I see it at the time? All things work together for good. If we keep that in mind, if we keep in mind that there's a God in heaven, a Father, who cares for us, who looks after us, who provides for us, who will never tempt us beyond what we are able to bear, and who sends us, whatever He sends us, is meant for our good, then it's possible. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's possible then to be thankful to God in everything. The second thing we need to keep in mind is that no matter how bad things get, our salvation in Christ is secure. Child of God, the Lord may take many things away from you, as He did in the case of Job, but there's one thing He will never take away from you. He will never take away your salvation. It's one of the most beautiful doctrines of Calvinism, the perseverance of the saints. Once we are saved, we are always saved. We can never fall from salvation. It's a gift that God gives. And He will uphold us. And He will strengthen us. He will enable us to persevere to the end, to finish the race that is set before us. And knowing that the prize is there, that should enable us to be thankful in everything. In fact, congregation, it's only those who are in Christ who can be truly thankful. Why is that? Because they have the one thing that they can always be thankful for, the one thing that will never be taken away from them, salvation in Christ. Yes, there are people in the world who also are thankful. There are many people today across our country, because of Thanksgiving Day, are thankful in a certain way. They're glad that they live in a country of freedom and peace. They're glad that we live in a country of plenty. But that's not the same as being truly thankful. Only a believer in Christ knows what it is to be truly thankful, because He has the one thing that the world doesn't have: salvation and all of its benefits. And so if you're not in Christ this morning, you can go about this day and you can go through the motions of being thankful, but you don't know the secret of true thankfulness until you come to Him and you repent of your sins and you embrace Him as your Lord and Savior and King. And then He fills you with His love and His grace and His Holy Spirit, and He works within you true thanksgiving. Oh, will you seek Him today? We see that although it is not easy to give thanks in everything, yet it is possible. And finally, in the third place, we see that it is also required. Paul has just exhorted the Thessalonians to give thanks, and then he reminds them that this is what God expects. This is what God requires of them. In everything, he says, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's a lot of talk today about the will of God. Everybody wants to know what is the will of God. And people are always asking, well, how do I know what God's will is? And there are books in the bookstore that you can buy about the will of God. Now, I don't know what the will of God is in every circumstance of your life, and it's difficult sometimes to determine. We have to look at the various circumstances and read the Word of God and seek for His direction and look for closed doors and look for open doors. But there's one thing I do know. And it's true for every single one of us that it's the will of God for you and for me and for every believer to give thanks to God in everything. It's the will of God. It's not the will of Paul. It's not the will of your pastor or the consistory. It's the will of God. God comes to us this morning and he says, "It is my will that you give thanks in everything." And Paul says, "It is the will of God in Christ Jesus." How beautiful that phrase is, "in Christ Jesus." Paul is reminding the Thessalonians there of their position in Christ. Before they came to faith in Christ, they were not in Christ Jesus at all. They were outside of Christ Jesus. They were in the world under the dominion of Satan and the devil and his whole dominion. They were slaves of sin. But after they were converted, they were united to Christ. They were in Christ Jesus. They were literally part of his body. He is the head. They are the members of his body. Now Paul says, as those who are so united to Christ, the will of God in Christ Jesus is for you to give thanks to God in everything. It's the will of God. And if we are believers this morning, then the will of God should mean everything to us. You see, the believer has a new heart. Before we knew God, before we knew Christ, we didn't care about the will of God. We only cared about our own will. We only cared about doing what we want to do, not what God wants us to do. But after we've come to know the Lord Jesus, then our will has changed. And our first priority is to do his will. And now God comes to us and says, "You want to know what my will is? My will is to give thanks to me in everything." Are we doing that? You say, how do we do that? There's different ways we can do that. We give thanks to God in prayer, don't we? Oh, let every prayer that we pray not just be a list of petitions of things that we want God to do for us, but also let our prayers be saturated with thanksgiving, praising God and thanking him for all the things that he has already done for us. Our catechism reminds us that prayer is the chief part of thankfulness that we owe to God for all of his blessings. We express our thanks in prayer. We express our thanks by coming together in the worship service, don't we? By taking up our psalters and singing praise to God, by meditating upon his word. We express that we're thankful to God that we live every moment of every day in his presence. And that's why we come together every Lord's Day. May it be twice every Lord's Day. That's why we're here, Thanksgiving Day, because we're thankful to God. We give thanks to God in the offering. As the collection bag is passed around, we sometimes view that as almost an empty ritual, but it isn't. It's a way whereby we can express our thanks to God, and what we put in the collection bag should come out of not our wallets so much, but out of our heart. And what we give should be an expression of our thankfulness to the Lord. We give thanks to God even in our everyday lives by striving to resist sin and to walk in his ways and to live to his glory. This is how we give thanks to God. Congregation, are we doing this? Are we showing our thanks? Are we making full use of all of the various ways that God has given whereby we may express our thanks to him? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and for me and for every believer. May God give us grace that we may do his will to his glory. Amen. We sing.